What up, Sleeper Nation? We're back with another pre-draft episode over here at Sleeper Wire. Of course, I am Natter alongside the number one Australian fantasy football analyst, Shion. How are you doing?
Yeah, going all right, mate. Always good to talk ball with you. It's coming up on 1 o'clock in the morning here, but always very happy to get on, talk about the draft and fantasy football.
I'm definitely worth staying up one in the morning for. I don't know about our other guest, Justin, over here, who I love to say looks like a Walmart Josh Allen. Justin, how are you doing?
Hey, man, I'll take that. Walmart Josh Allen, I'd be doing okay for myself, I think. Yeah, not bad. Just getting a little anxious for the draft. That's about it.
I'm ready for the draft. I mean, as of right now, we are on 420. Yeah, jokes aside, it is 9 days away from the draft. I'm just excited because I want to get it over with at this point. You know, we've done so much analysis, so much film watching, so much debating on picks and who's better, this, that. I just want it to be over with. And then I want to start analyzing who's going to be good on whose team and start that. And then basically start the process all over again.
Yeah, can't wait. I thought the draft was this week, but was both happy and sad to find out that I could do some more draft content prior to the draft and sad that I had more draft content to do prior to the draft.
All right, so for this episode, we're going to be talking about the dream scenarios and the nightmare landing spots for, the top players. But first, a little bit of a new segment for everybody here. The Niners, Chiefs, and the Washington football team, Alex Smith, quarterback, number one overall in the 2005 draft, finally announced his retirement. And, you know, when somebody retires, of course, we want to celebrate his career, especially because he's had a long career. But was he a bust?
It's a big call, man. You're the Niners fan. I think, to me, Smith had a pretty good career for anyone selected maybe outside the top 10. I think you'd be happy with the numbers he put up, the stability he gave you at quarterback. Yeah, it was a bit of a meme, you know, the things like, I was pissed off when the Chiefs drafted Mahomes, but I checked down to just unhappy, like that sort of stuff. He probably didn't deserve all the memes. You know, to watch him come back after that horrific injury, see his wife in the stands, all of that, he was a deserved comeback player of the year. It's a fantastic story, and you know, maybe we'll see a straight to Disney Plus movie about it. But Aaron Rodgers running around with another MVP under his belt. As I say, you're the Niners fan. Do you think he was a bust?
It's hard to compare the two because I think even Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be able to succeed in the absolute dumpster fire the Niners organization was at the time. But you have to think of it career-wise. He has made a handful of postseason runs, has won some postseason games. I feel like that's a big thing, but no Super Bowls, no real records. At no point was he one of the best QBs in the NFL. He wasn't, you know, even the best QB of his draft class. Of course, Aaron Rodgers is there. It's tough to be the number one overall pick and then not be considered a bust if you don't have a Super Bowl ring. Justin, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree to the point where if you consider other number one overall picks, especially quarterbacks, and lately, he's been okay in comparison. Like you got, you know, Winston, guys like that. Yeah, I don't know that I'd say he's a bust. You're picking number one overall. You'd want that to be Aaron Rodgers in hindsight, but I think he was solid.
That is a 15-year career. If you play 15 years in the NFL, you're probably at least above average. Another little retirement segment, tight end Jordan Reed. He is also retiring, who also played for the Washington football team and the Niners. I mean, he spent a lot of time on IR. He's definitely going to be one of those what-ifs type of players, what type of moments of, especially in the tight end position where it kind of lacks in that position, but, you know, made the Pro Bowl in 2015, had almost 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns. But after that, it was just concussion after injury. Is Logan Thomas going to be his replacement as the what-if type of people, or do you expect Logan Thomas to excel?
You're going to hate me for saying this. I think it might be George Kittle. Reed was such a cheat code when you had him. He was kind of a prototype for that move tight end that you wanted, both in fantasy and as a football viewer. And I think George Kittle has that potential. He spent a lot of time injured. He's not quite to the same degree as Reed. He's probably a better tight end than Reed as well. He could be that what-if guy if he keeps missing too much more time.
I'm going to have to agree with you there. Now, because he retired, now does that put, this is a silly hot take now, does that put the Niners in position to take Pitts?
I mean, that would be a, a big balls move to move up to draft Kyle Pitts at number 3 overall. I mean, as we say, they've already got Kittle there. You know, I don't see it happening, but we're going to get to the dream and nightmare landing spots. I think they could definitely use a second tight end. Maybe someone like Tommy Tremble, who is a bit of a Reed clone, could be that man to fit the Niners offense there.
I mean, if, say, hypothetically speaking, they were to draft Pitts, this would be a better tight end duo than Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez at the time, right?
On paper, you'd have to think so. But, I mean, we haven't seen how the Boston TE Party 2.0 with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith is going to work out. So you never know. But I guess on paper, with the absolute beast playmaker that is Kyle Pitts and George Kittle, a violent man at a violent position, that'd be exciting. Terrible for fantasy, but exciting to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. Now, last but not least, the Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin signed a 3-year extension. For, you know, just for fun facts, the Steelers organization, I think, was around for 56 years now, and they've had a total of 3 head coaches. I'm not sure, you know, if it's just something in the water over there in Steeler Nation, but they just know how to get head coaches there, and they know how to keep them, and they still have a winning culture. It's not like they're the Cincinnati Bengals where they lose and they still don't fire the head coach.
Tomlin was kind of plucked from obscurity as well. He wasn't a big name at the time. I think he might have even been a Rooney Rule candidate, but they didn't let him out of the building, and he's proved that. I don't think he's had a losing season as coach, and I think this is going to be a nice bit of security for him and his family, Large Benjamin coming to the end of his career, and a chance for him to, I guess, build the team around whoever their next quarterback is going to be. Maybe they're a team to watch to trade up. Well, in fact, they won't be because they traded their first round pick. But, you know, over the next coming couple of years to find someone to build around, whether that's Haskins, whether that's someone else entirely, Mike Tomlin will be there steering the ship.
Mike Tomlin, I believe, is 49 years old. He's not that old, so he could definitely coach a whole lot longer, depending, of course, if he does well. And if, of course, the Steelers want him. But, I mean, if they don't fire head coaches, then, of course, I'm fully expecting Mike Tomlin to be the coach a little bit longer. That's going to wrap up the news. Of course, that wasn't necessarily fantasy relevant, but it's always nice to talk about something not fantasy or draft relevant in a time where that's all the information we're kind of taking in right now. So let's move on to the draft, and more importantly, the pre-draft. We're going to talk about all the important people in the positions, the QBs, the running back, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and then we're going to pick the dream scenario where we want them to go. And then, of course, just for fun, we want to talk about the nightmare situations and where they will absolutely crash and burn. And then after the draft, we're going to revisit this and then see how correct or wrong we were. And then I could just roast you guys for the fun of it. How does that sound, Justin?
Sounds good, man.
Sounds good. Of course, it sounds good. I came up with the idea. All right. Justin Fields. Okay, we're skipping Trevor Lawrence, right? Like, there's no need for this. Justin.
No need to talk about it. He's 101, lock it in. He's already talking on Twitter about how Jags fans are donating to his wedding and stuff like that. So yeah, 101.
101, okay. But for fun, is there a scenario you'd rather see him go to?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, Jacksonville isn't the, you know, the cream of the crop offenses. So, I mean, if you were looking to swap him into any offense, of course there's better spots. But in the top realm of picks where, if for some unknown reason he were to fall, he's not falling past number 2 with the Jets, and that would be much worse than the Jags, in my opinion. So, yeah, I mean, Jets would be a nightmare spot. I feel bad for Zach Wilson, to be honest with you.
Is it a universal consensus that the Jets are the worst landing spot in almost any scenario possible, or could we think of a worse landing spot?
I mean, probably the Texans. With just the murkiness around there, you've got your Rasputin figure running the show, you've got fairly ordinary ownership, you've got no weapons on the outside, you've got no picks, you don't have the culture of sucking like the Jets do, but the Texans is not a desirable situation. I wouldn't want to be a Texans player, don't really want to be a Texans fan, so I would say they're the only ones worse. And I feel a bit bad for Zach Wilson, assuming he does go to the Jets. I think that's another foregone conclusion. It's a draft starts at 3 situation. I feel bad for Zach Wilson, not just because he's got a terrible Chipotle order, but he's going to have some big shoes to fill. We've talked in the last couple of episodes, there's not been a good quarterback to come out of Bama since Broadway Joe. But I think I saw somewhere on Twitter that, you know, we've seen Wilson last year, we saw Love, and the year before we saw Drew Locke. Is this an overreaction to teams missing on Mahomes the first time round? around, and is Wilson going to be the next in those big playmaking quarterbacks who can't transition without those weapons around him and the support around him that Mahomes had?
I mean, Mahomes fell into the dream scenario. Offensive genius, absolute weapons on every position on the offensive side, and then of course a phenomenal offensive line. I like to think that is an anomaly, and that's never going to happen again unless a situation like that happens again. And I need to thank Alex Smith for allowing Mahomes to be in that situation. He did a proper job for the Kansas City Chiefs. I fully put their Super Bowl ring on his shoulders and his shoulders alone. But to go back to your Texans little point, I mean, luckily for all our draftees, they don't have the picks to land on that team. So I think like if you think about it, it's a good thing that the Texans organization is a little bit of a dumpster fire in that aspect. But all right, let's start it off with Justin Fields. So Sheehan, I'll start with you. Give me a dream landing spot. Give me the nightmare.
It's got to be the 49ers as the dream. You've got Kyle Shanahan there. We've talked before about, you know, is he the heir to Steve Young almost in that offense and what Young did with old man Shanahan. So that would be the absolute dream. I mean, from a personal point of view, the Patriots is the dream. Nightmare landing scenario might be Detroit, another listless organization. They don't really know what they're doing. Again, they don't really have any weapons, and he would likely be parked behind Goff probably for most of the season. That's not good news for your fantasy team either, and I don't think it'd be particularly good for Justin Fields. What about you there, Justin?
Yeah, I feel like I'd kind of piggyback off what you said with San Fran taking him at 3. That seems like the most likely situation, even though there's a lot of Mac Jones hype for some reason that I'm not knowing of. If there was another team that I wouldn't mind seeing him on would be possibly even Atlanta. And I understand that he'd have to sit for 2 years. But if we think about it, let's look at Lamar Jackson and what happened with him. He sits behind Joe Flacco, comes in, and in Atlanta, you've got Calvin Ridley on certainly a top wide receiver in the game. Julio's likely to be gone, but then there's the possibility of getting later round guys in the draft. Wide receiver is very healthy in this draft. There's tons of talent available. So that wouldn't be a bad spot for him, I don't think. As for nightmare, I mean, Detroit is definitely one of them. You don't want to see that. And they're definitely in a position where they could take him if they really wanted to, being at 7. Another bad one that I wouldn't necessarily want to see is Vegas, maybe. The inconsistency that franchise is, and being in Vegas, it's just a mix of bad fire, I guess.
Just for fun, I'm going to add the Cincinnati Bengals as a nightmare spot for any of these quarterbacks, just because I think it'd be funny that they already have a QB controversy with Joe Burrow there. All right, so let's move on to Mac Jones. Of course, you know, Justin touched on him. I just for a quick moment, but Sheehan, give me a perfect landing spot and then a nightmare. Let's take out the Niners. I feel like that's an easy answer. Let's take them out of the equation.
I would say he'd slot in nicely into the Patriots offense. He's a clever guy, gets the ball out quickly. And I think we'd be back to seeing a bit more of that Brady-style offense rather than the screens on second and long and then Cam Newton getting sacked on third down that we saw a lot of this season. Another team that might want to come up for him might be the Broncos. They've got a lot of weapons. I think that'd be exciting for fantasy. He's a guy who thrived on having those weapons around him at Bama. And I think to have his old classmate Jerry Jeudy, to have Cortland Sutton, to have the underappreciated Tim Patrick there, to have Noah Fant there, I think that'd be an excellent position for him. Nightmare landing spot, anywhere where he's going to be running for his life potentially. He does get the ball out quickly and he can read the field well. Everyone's talked about he's not the most mobile guy. He's got a real farm boy body on him. So anywhere without an offensive line where he's going to be running is not going to suit Mac Jones. And personally, I don't think, well, I should say if he doesn't go in the top 4, I don't think he's getting past Carolina at 8. And if he does, I think we might see a bit of a Bo Callahan style slide just because Carolina had him for a week at the Senior Bowl. Their coaching staff saw him inside and out. And I think at that point, even though they've traded for Darnold, it might set off some alarm bells across the league if, in a limited off-season scouting program, teams might wonder what the Panthers know and they don't.
I think that the number 8 pick is a spot to watch if the Niners don't take Mac Jones, simply because I think that Shane's right. If Mac Jones were to slide to 8, I think they would just take him, or at least Denver might think about it as well at 9. But I think 8 is the trade bait right now. And apparently number six is as well with Miami. And I think a team to watch potentially could be Chicago, just because they're kind of sitting in no man's land right now at number 20, where they don't really have an overwhelming need. And it's kind of too early to take one of the wide receivers past the top three. And off the top of my head, I'm thinking the Bears might want to look at wide receiver, considering Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson are likely to be gone in a year's time. So I think they might be a team that has interest in moving up. And then obviously New England as well. That's been speculated for quite some time. Either to pick number four, six, or eight, I would say, would probably be the most likely spots that get traded out of.
A wild card that I'm going to throw out there is I want to see the New Orleans Saints trade up to try to grab Mac Jones. I think he would be a phenomenal fit in that offense. But I mean, they're sitting all the way at 28. It would take a lot of firepower in order to make something like that happen. But let's move on to Trey Lance, of course, the supposed project quarterback. He's moving up draft boards as of late. As of 2 days ago on his pro day, the Niners supposedly spent a heavy amount of time working with him specifically. I think that is also still some smoke, but I'll pass the microphone to you guys. Sheehan.
Best fits for him is going to be anywhere where he can sit with a patient fan base. Atlanta checks both of those boxes, surely. Any fan base that's been screwed over that much is pretty patient. I would say even New England's going to be a good result. He can sit behind Cam, similar sort of player. Lance is better, but, you know, a rushing quarterback, all of that sort of jazz. Nightmare landing spot, Washington or Chicago, where he's going to probably have to come in and start. I would say Denver as well, even with all those weapons around. Locke's not the answer there. He's not going to get that chance to sit and learn the game, learn, and there would be pressure on him right from the start to come in, get up to speed. That sort of QB controversy is not helpful.
Justin, let's hear it from you.
I personally think that someone's going to trade up to number four to take him there, not Mac Jones. I think people that are sitting below right now, like Carolina, teams like that, that were in the running to get a quarterback. Carolina went out and made the move for Sam Darnold. Denver hasn't done anything yet, but they've been linked to Teddy Bridgewater potentially coming there in a trade. So I think that if someone's going to try and get Trey Lance, they're going to trade up to number four to get him, or maybe number six now that Miami is apparently shopping the pick. I would be actually kind of interested to see if Pittsburgh would be interested in trading up for him, depending on how far he slid, just because obviously Ben's not got a ton of years left in the tank and they have some solid weapons on offense that could help him out. Their offensive line needs some work, but you can take offensive linemen or depth pieces throughout the third to fifth round in the draft. So that would be an interesting spot, and it would be a nice spot for sure to learn behind Ben for a year and then come back and be with, you know, Chase Claypool on his third year. So I think that would be a good spot.
I think that would be a phenomenal spot. Another fun one would be the Minnesota Vikings going up and nabbing him. If you want to win games, you keep Kirk Cousins. If you want to win Super Bowls, you go for the Trey Lance potential. Any other quarterbacks we want to talk about, or are they just kind of too far out of the first round for us to bother mentioning?
I think we could see a team come back into the back end of the first round at 31 or 32 and maybe get Kyle Trask. If he's a guy that they really believe in and want on the five-year deal, I could see, well, I mean, we've talked about the Bears coming back up, who might come back into that first round, or as you say, well, probably not the Steelers because they'd probably just take him, but maybe the Broncos if they liked someone who fell to their pick but still felt they wanted an upgraded quarterback. And I think we'll see Davis Mills come off the board in the second round as well. He's a very solid quarterback. He's not flashy, but for one of those teams picking in the back end of the second, like a Saints, like a Steelers, he might be a nice fallback option there.
Alrighty, now let's move on to the running backs. I know running backs, we'll try to spend a little bit more time on the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs. I feel like this one's a little bit more straightforward, but we'll start it off with Najee Harris. Sheehan, lay it out for me.
Well, he's a three-down guy, the best three-down back in the class there. I think there's three teams, probably an opening for a three-down back, and that's Miami, that's the Steelers, and that's Buffalo. I don't think he's going to go in the first round. I think he's going to be an early day two pick. Dream landing spot, I think, is going to be the Steelers, but nightmare is going to be anywhere where he's in a committee. He's a three-down guy. You know, we don't want to see a similar situation to Derrick Henry's first couple of years where he's splitting time with DeMarco Murray. For fantasy, let's get him in there. He's probably going to rise up the draft board of your fantasy drafts. So, yeah, let's go with the Steelers. How about you, Justin? What do you recommend?
Najee Harris? Yeah, you're right. He needs the three-down back kind of work. He's that kind of talent that demands that kind of work. the teams that may be on his radar are the ones to start the second round. So we got teams like the Jets, Atlanta, and Miami with their third pick in the draft. I think those are teams that might want to look at him. And I think the Jets would be an ideal scenario for him, even though the team is bad. And we all know that. We don't know how the coaching staff is yet. That could be a complete culture change in the Jets, in which case he might turn out to have solid production because there's literally no competition for the Jets. There's a bunch of guys there, yes, but are they the same talent as Najee Harris? Absolutely not. So I think we could see Najee Harris being a three down back in that system.
I got to think, who are the teams that are run first and who are the teams that like having one running back out there? I see the Seattle Seahawks being that team that will take him. And then I think Rashad Penny's done. I think he's going to be gone. And then I think Najee Harris is going to take that role. Running backs are a little bit difficult because I just feel like they're going to end up taken by a team like the Patriots or the Niners, who just love running backs and love hoarding all the running backs for some odd reason. And then they'll just use them for a specific little role. And then, well, they excel in that role, to be fair. Travis Etienne. I always get that one wrong. That was a tough one. It's spelled differently. What can we see in his future?
Etienne is a guy that's been comped to Alvin Kamara a lot. And, you know, Kamara wasn't a first round guy. So, I mean, you're looking at someone who thinks they've got a plan for Etienne to come in and be, I don't think it's a three down back kind of role. I think it's more something like either a split backfield, committee backfield, or even just third down change of pace kind of thing, at least to start out anyway. And some teams, you know, that could be interested in something like that are maybe Vegas in the second round, or we got Indy potentially. I'm not sure what the contracts are like with their guys besides Jonathan Taylor, but Etienne's a dynamic player and he can change, or he can at least help with someone who isn't as solid in the passing game. So another player that comes to mind would be Derrick Henry in Tennessee. We're going to have 53rd overall. It's a possibility. I don't see it necessarily, but that wouldn't be a bad spot considering the lack of involvement that Derrick Henry has in the passing game.
Vegas and Indy would just totally tank his value. I mean, Vegas, we've already seen Kenyon Drake there as that Joker role that they want to call it. Jonathan Taylor is going in like the top six in dynasty startups at the moment. I think if Etienne landed either of those, that's just like bending over and pulling your cheeks apart on that sort of value. So that's not good. I think he's kind of a 2.5 down back personally. I don't think you don't want to be running him up the middle too much. So if you can pair him with a thumper, like I still always think he's in the league, LeGarrette Blount, it would be a perfect complement for, you know, someone who can punch it in inside 20 and he gives you something in a pass first team as well. Etienne, that is. So again, maybe somewhere like the Bills where your goal line back kind of is Josh Allen. You've also got Zach Moss there, who's a bit of a stronger guy. Etienne can contribute in that pass first offense. I think a team is going to trade up and take him maybe inside the first 10 picks of the second round. I think Harris is going to go first. Let's say he's going to go to, I'm going to have the Bills trading up from 61. They'll give up a second and a third, get to the top of the second. Someone will move back and Travis Etienne will be a Buffalo Bill, carrying on the proud tradition of Buffalo running backs.
I'm going to have to agree with you. The Buffalo Bills would be a phenomenal landing spot. I mean, if you cannot run the ball properly and effectively like how the Bills did last year, the next best thing you can do is just dump it off to him and then allow him to go nuts. Other than that, I would like to see him go to the Ravens. I think a check down would be a phenomenal little weapon for Lamar Jackson to have in his arsenal. But I do think the Buffalo Bills take him. I don't think they trade up for him. Right now, I see a lot of teams that have other needs other than running back. It's difficult for me to justify trading up for a running back, but we shall see how it goes in 9 days. Javonte Williams. Justin?
Williams, I mean, is an interesting kind of back coming out, especially because he's likely not to be a first-round guy. He's most likely second, third kind of guy. The first thing that comes to mind is I think he's close, but not quite to an NFL three-down back. So I could see him joining a committee like San Fran runs, like New England runs, something like that, where his fantasy value isn't going to be great. I don't think he's in the position to come in and take carries away from backs that are already established in their running back one roles on their teams.
So is there any team that, Sheehan, I'll let you answer this, that specifically needs a Javonte Williams type role? Or is he kind of like a bland guy where he doesn't necessarily have a defined spot and he's just kind of going to go where he fits?
he's going to be productive wherever he goes. Like, he's not going to blow your socks off wherever he goes. He's going to range between like 1,000 yards on a less than ideal landing spot to probably 1,300 on a really good one. That's it with an expanded season as well. I would kind of like to see, just for the fun of it, I'd like to see the Jets get the band back together, get Javonte Williams and Michael Carter a little bit later in the draft, get the exact same backfield from North Carolina, and that'll set them up at least for the next couple of years as a nice dynamic one too. I think the team's in play here. Fantasy guys, we always overvalue the these guys that we like, or these skills positions we like, and other teams are like, yeah, let's get a pass rushing linebacker or a rotational piece here. But I think the Dolphins at pick 50 would be an intriguing landing spot for him. I think the Cardinals might be interested in adding him at pick 49. So somewhere not in that sweet spot there. And then your Seahawks, or I say your Seahawks, a team that you think will be taking a running back, the Seahawks at 56 might be in the frame for Williams as well.
Never refer to the Seahawks as my team.
That's
disrespectful. Oh my God, that's fighting words right there. I'm gonna have to take a one-way trip straight to Britain for that one right there. You take your Super League and you put that somewhere else. All right, so
but, it lasted less time than the AAF.
Ouch, that's rough. That's rough and also very, very, very true. All right, so. Because, you know, running backs are a little bit difficult to assess, we're going to start pairing them up a little bit. Kenny Gainwell, and then after him, I'll ask you guys, you know, any type of specific running back that we want to go over. But let's start it off with him. Now we're going to move back to Sheehan first.
Gainwell might be probably a late day two, early day three guy. He is a nice electric playmaker, second and third down guy. Needs to work a little bit on his blocking. So someone like the Jags at the top of the third round, potentially, to pair with James Robinson there. Probably not a great fit for the Chargers, but they're going to be in the frame for running back about then, maybe slightly later as well. You know, the Rams, they're a team that likes to hoard running backs as well. Maybe he'll go there. Sean McVay will find some interesting things to do with him.
I don't want Sean McVay to take him because I like the running back committee how it is right now. And I think I like Cam Akers. There we go. I took him in Dynasty. I took that hit last year. A lot of people made fun of me for it. It's starting to look like it's going to pan out. No, the Rams stay away from any type of running back. You give me that RB1 and you'll like it. But Justin, let me know what you're thinking.
I agree with Shane that he's going to be a later round guy. And I think a team to watch is Cincinnati at pick number 69.
Nice. 69 on nice. 420 as well.
Let's go.
It's quite the meme. It's a pretty good job there. I think I'll take a pat on the back for myself. But yeah, you know, the loss of Giovanni Bernard, I think Gainwell would slot in pretty nice there. I don't think it's going to be necessarily the most productive role for him to start out, but I think the Bengals would be someone that would be interested in him, especially with Joe Mixon's injury history, the lack of talent behind Joe Mixon left on the roster. I think it checks a lot of boxes, especially due to the similarities of the play between Gio and Kenny Gainwell. So I think that would be an interesting spot to see him land.
I think so too. I would like to see how it goes first. My hot take for the running backs is they all draw. I think the first running back, Najee Harris, he gets taken maybe late second round. I think us as fantasy owners, I think we are overvaluing the running back position a little bit too much right now. I think a lot of teams don't need a running back. I mean, they have a lot of holes to fit. And unfortunately, I think running backs are just going to be that guy nobody cares about. But the wide receivers, we all care about wide receivers. NFL teams love wide receivers. I like wide receivers, maybe a little bit too much if you ask some of my buddies. But let's start off with Ja'Marr Chase, arguably maybe the best wide receiver out there. You know, maybe that's a debate. Maybe it's not. You guys can do that, but give me his landing spot.
I would be surprised if he gets past Miami at 6. In fact, I would think that if Miami are keen to move back, that's someone might trade up to get him if he doesn't go there. I mean, we're looking at Detroit at 7, but again, if he's available there, maybe someone comes up to get him. He is that good. He's comfortably the best receiver in the class. I would say he's arguably the best player in the class with Pitts. He's special. We saw the Falcons give up a King's ransom to come up and get Julio all those years ago. That worked out well for them. I think we're going to see that again. Obviously, the nightmare landing spot is Baltimore, as with any wide receiver we're probably going to talk about. But I also think the Cowboys, you know, Jerry Jones falls in love with his guys if he's fallen in love with Chase. What's he going to be competing for snaps alongside CD's Nuts and Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup? It's just not viable, not good for fantasy. Same with the Broncos, probably, and probably same with the Panthers. So someone's going to come and get him. I will say the Dolphins stick fat and they pair him with Tua there at 6.
Fun fact, Amari Cooper is 26 years old.
Couldn't believe it.
And so is actually Calvin Ridley. He's also 26 years old. And they didn't play together at Alabama. And they actually both went to Alabama together. So they never played with each other. They went to the same college and they're still 26 years old. I mean, the way Amari Cooper has been in the NFL, and you would think he's almost retired at this point. But no, he's got at least another 4 or 5 years left in the tank of him. That was kind of your fun fact of the day. But Justin, let me know what you think.
I agree. The Dolphins are the most likely team to take him if they don't trade out of the pick. Of course, there's been some rumors that they're looking to trade out, but I'm going to go with the unpopular opinion here, especially on Twitter, and say I wouldn't mind seeing the Bengals taking him. And now I know, I get it. They need offensive line help. Let's think about it in this perspective. You've got Ja'Marr Chase, who played with Joe Burrow and is one of the most elite wide receiver prospects we've seen in a while, at the top of the board and available to you more than likely at number 5. You've got the other option. You've got Penei Sewell, or you've got Kyle Pitts, maybe. To me, it just seems like I understand that you need offensive line help, but is it necessarily the best idea to take it at number 5? Why not take the best wide receiver that played with your quarterback in college and then stack up on linemen through the middle rounds and see what happens? They just signed a right tackle in free agency. Maybe they're looking elsewhere for help on the offensive line. But I mean, everyone is like, you know, we got to protect Joe Burrow. If Joe Burrow can't stand up, then, you know, Ja'Marr Chase doesn't matter. But I don't think it's necessary that you need to take all this offensive line help right away.
So you said that Ja'Marr Chase is the best wide receiver in this class and one of the best wide receivers we've seen in a while. But that's a little bit hard to justify after we saw last year's. Is he better than all the prospects that we saw last year?
I think he's a better prospect. We saw Jefferson come in, dominate. We've seen Metcalf come in and dominate. We've seen AJ Brown come in and dominate. But in terms of pure as a prospect scouting, his upside higher than all of them.
Wow. I mean, that's something that's hard to wrap your head around, because I mean, last year when we were talking about Henry Ruggs, we were talking about CD Lamb, we were talking about CD's nuts, we're talking about, I mean, all these wide receivers that we were talking and that got drafted in the first round alone. I don't know. It's a tough argument to make that he's better than all of them, right? Or are you guys firm on that?
I'm firm. I would be very firm if he went to New England.
No, if he went to New England, then, you know, he's tanking. Sorry. He's a bust.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can't just come out and say, you know, right for certain that he's going to be phenomenal in the NFL, but signs point towards it on tape. And if I was a betting man, it would be on Ja'Marr Chase in the NFL for sure.
Oof, alrighty. That's a strong statement.
Before we move on from Chase, a quick question for the two of you. And Natter, I know we've talked about the bottomless money pit for poor owners before.
Yes.
The Bengals are a poor franchise. They're one of the smaller franchise, small market team. They've got their pretty good looking new jerseys.
Okay.
What thought would they give to getting a player who is going to sell jerseys, who is going to get people in to watch them play at that pick, as opposed to Penei Sewell? And bear in mind, their only Hall of Famer is Anthony Munoz.
If Joey Burrow, whichever one you want to call him, cannot sell tickets, Ja'Marr Chase won't. There's no way a wide receiver will sell more tickets than a quarterback. And I mean, if you can't keep the quarterback healthy, then it doesn't matter what the wide receiver position, in my opinion, is. I don't think he'll be the icing on the cake for ticket sales. He's not going to be the, you know, the healthy little meat entree dinner time little aspect to it.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I think you've got the pull from Joe Burrow for sure, but I wouldn't necessarily rule it out that it's a factor they're thinking about, because of course Ja'Marr Chase is the sexy name, not Penei Sewell or any offensive lineman for that matter. It's maybe something they're thinking about for sure. I think the thing that definitely makes it interesting is when you talk about them as in Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase being college teammates. That makes it a little more, I guess you could say, hype developing, and where they might be thinking, okay, you know, we're pairing these two guys and fans might be excited to see what that produces in the NFL. But yeah, I'm not sure that it's the overwhelming factor.
Yes. So Devontae Smith, before we spend too much time on one person, he's also, I guess he's number two. If Ja'Marr Chase is Batman, we got Robin right over here, but where's his dream spot?
I'm not sure. He's not my wide receiver two, but I think he's done everything to put himself in that position. I don't think you're going to fault any team who takes him ahead of Waddle or my man Bateman. I think we're going to see a bit of a slide from him. I think a dream landing spot might be in an established pass-catching offense. 13 to the Chargers. I know they need help for Herbert. He's the new hotness. You've got Keenan Allen getting on a bit. He's not a young man like Amari Cooper. He is, if he's not 30, he's close to it, and maybe they want someone to pair with Herbert there. Potentially the Dolphins at 18 are in the frame for him, or even the football team at 19 to pair with Scary Terry. Any of those are going to be good. Bad landing spots, the Ravens, probably the Browns, the Cowboys. It's going to be the same for everyone. The Cowboys, maybe the Giants. No one wants to go there.
Never disrespect the Giants like that. Or Danny Dimes. I mean, so Keenan Allen, he is 28 years old. Fun fact, DeAndre Hopkins is 28. Also, Mike Evans, who I thought of him as a young guy, but he's 27 years old. And when you come to think of it, yeah, he's had, I think, 8,000 yard seasons. Allen Robinson, also 27 years old. There's a lot of middle-aged wide receivers right here.
I think we're going to be doing an episode coming up about sneaky old guy discount for old guys who aren't actually old guys. I think that's what this is showing. Like Sammy Watkins is like not even old enough to drink or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, that's a good show. That's a good idea. But
yeah, of course, we definitely won't talk about these ideas for other shows on air. We'll just make sure we'll get this out of the way now, and then we'll do our actual podcast.
You're killing it. Justin, let me know what you're thinking.
I think if the Dolphins remain at 6, they likely take Ja'Marr Chase if he's available. If not, I think that they might take Devonta Smith or trade out. I think Detroit might have him on their radar. They could use some wide receiver help. But besides that, I think there's no way he falls past 12 or 13. I think if he starts to slide, that you'll see one of the teams in the later rounds try to trade up to get him. Before that, Philly could definitely use some wide receiver help. So they're a team that I would think would take them, take Devonta Smith if he was available at 12. We have to think that the past Heisman winner would draw some attention if he starts to slide. The teams would be trying to trade up before number 12, because I think Philly would be a team to take him. As for where I think he'll go, I think Detroit takes him at 7, because I think Ja'Marr Chase goes at 6. I don't think it's a great pick. I don't love it for him, but I think the Lions have a need there. They have a lot of needs, but I think he's going to draw some attention, and Detroit will end up taking him at 7.
I like the Detroit landing spot. I could see them trading out of 7 and getting him with that pick that they trade out of, whether that is New England or a team coming up to get a quarterback there at 7. I think if they do trade back to those mid to late teens, he's a guy that very likely might end up there.
Well, I think Lions is the easy pick. The fun one I'm going to go with is the Arizona Cardinals. I think they could use another little wide receiver, big boy out there to replace a little bit of a Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, even if Larry Fitzgerald does come back, I definitely do think he's definitely not going to be that playmaker that he once was, and they might as well start looking at somebody else to replace them. Jalen Waddle, another interesting little guy. Does he even go in the first round?
Oh, absolutely. There's your man for the Cardinals. They've got one of the best deep ball throwers in the league. Jalen Waddle is as close to Tyreek Hill in this class. He has absolute wheels, can do it all. I really like him, and I think the Cardinals are a great fit. 16 might be a little bit of a reach, but pairing with Hopkins on the outside, get him running under Kyler Murray, that's a good fit there.
If you say wheels, it is impossible to say, it is impossible not to say Las Vegas Raiders. So, I mean, he's going to the Raiders. There's no doubt about that.
He and Henry Ruggs can both line up behind John Brown for the zero passes they're going to get.
Hey, I'm not saying what's going to happen on the field. All I'm saying is he's going to be a Las Vegas Raiders. You can't say he's fast and then all of a sudden not be a Raider. It doesn't work that way. It's illogical and impossible, improbable, whatever type of verb, adjective you would like to use, it is that he's going to be a Raider. Justin, any closing thoughts? Because there's no debate, he's just going to be a Raider. That's it.
I mean, maybe if I was predicting this pick, I'd put him at number 12 to the Eagles, just because I think that the first two go 6 and 7. I think Ja'Marr Chase either goes 5 or 6, and then Devonta Smith goes either 6 or 7. Following that, I think the Eagles would take him potentially as a replacement to DeSean Jackson. They don't really have that much speed on the outside. Waddle gives just that. So, I mean, the Eagles haven't had, or they've had 3 1,000-yard wide receivers since the 2011 season. Those were Ertz, Macklin, and DeSean Jackson. So, I mean, they're looking for some help, and he could provide that.
They did whiff on Rager, who was one of the fastest players in last year's draft in the first round last year. He didn't. Well, yeah, that's probably unfair. They certainly, let's say they whiffed, because they could have taken Justin Jefferson.
Now, would any of wide receiver done better in that situation? I mean, it's not like it was the wide receiver's fault that the quarterback is missing them, not hitting them. I mean, yeah, he did get injured and need finger surgery, which put him out 5 weeks. I'm not blaming Justin Reagor for all of this issues. I feel like he needs a little bit more stability at the quarterback position before we can start calling him a little bit of a bust. I mean, Justin Jefferson, he went through he has a number one receiver ahead of him that takes away all the double coverage or any type of specific coverages away from him. He's got a good offensive line, solid running game, good coaching staff, and of course a quarterback that is competent enough to throw him a nice little pretty deep ball. I think it's a little bit unfair to put that comparison on him.
No, that's probably fair.
And then
it's fair that you think it's unfair.
Okay, it's fair. So I mean, if you flip them together, does Jalen Reagor succeed the way Justin Jefferson did?
Oh, absolutely not.
No?
No, I don't think so. Jefferson's, to my mind, a better player. But obviously, he benefited from playing in a dome as well. And as you say, had a more stable quarterback. He had the bona fide number one opposite him. So I think Reagor looks better in Minnesota. Jefferson doesn't look as good in Philly. Whether Reagor would look as good as Jefferson looked, I don't think so.
All righty. Well, I mean, I guess hypotheticals are going to be hypotheticals for a reason because they're not going to happen. But Justin. So for Rashad Bateman, maybe I should have said his name for Rashad Bateman, besides having a cool name.
True.
Is he going to a team that actually is going to use his skill set?
I think for sure there's guys like Shane that love Rashad Bateman, and I'm sure there's some NFL franchises that love what he brings to the table. And I think he's probably a first round guy. So
that's a lot of first rounders.
Yeah. I think someone towards the end of the first round. Maybe a Washington, a Chicago, a Baltimore. Everyone's been saying Baltimore. Personally, I think it's going to be Baltimore towards the end of the round if he falls there at number 27. They got Sammy Watkins, but I don't think Sammy Watkins is the answer. If you can find a season where Sammy Watkins hasn't missed a game, then, I mean, congratulations. You need help for Lamar Jackson. He needs someone to open up the field. I saw a compilation on Twitter a long time ago of Lamar Jackson missing deep balls to Marquise Brown. So he needs someone that can bring something else. Mark Andrews kind of fell off a little bit last year. I mean, you just need an extra little piece. And I think towards the end of the first round, it'd be tempting to take him there.
So when you say somebody like the Ravens, is he a run blocker? I mean, when you run 30, 40 times a game, you got to be able to run block a little bit, especially on the outside. Is he somebody that has shown to be able to run block?
I think he's fine. He's not among the worst in the class. And there are some bad blockers in this class. I think Seth Williams got pancaked, and he's a big guy, or reverse pancaked maybe. Personally, I think he'd be a good fit for the Ravens. He's, you know, if you're looking for a comp, he's kind of a longer Calvin Ridley. He's that crisp route run. He's got beautiful hands. Can play inside, and that's where Jackson's strengths are. I think he's going to be all right off book as well, which is obviously Jackson's strength. Not great for fantasy. I think 22 to the Titans, they need a replacement for Corey Davis. He's a similar run after the catch player to AJ Brown. I think he'd suit what they're trying to do there. And you and I and Adda would have to pour one out for our boy Josh Reynolds if that happens. But I think 28 to the Saints, a nice compliment for Michael Thomas and whoever is going to be passing the ball there. Or 29 to Green Bay, get Jeopardy's own Aaron Rodgers, the weapon he wants. He'd fit nicely, a bit like Jefferson. He'd had that bona fide A1 outside him in Adams, and he'd work really nicely. He's got those safe hands that Rodgers wants. I love the guy. I just put on his tape, was like blown away compared to some of the other schmucks I'd been watching. Yeah, I'm a big fan, but I think he's a back end of the first round guy. So Saints, Packers, and then load up your fantasy draft in the late rounds.
The other people we have on this list is Rondale Moore, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Terrace Marshall Jr., Elijah Moore. Are they all non-first round great type people, not expected to go in the first round? Or is Rashad Bateman kind of like the borderline, like that's it, he's the last one? Other than that, non-first rounders.
The only one I would draw a line through as not being a first rounder is Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think we could easily see Rondale Moore, a team in love with him, come up for him. Terrace Marshall, we talked about last week, is that prototypical outside receiver. And Elijah Moore is just an electric playmaker. I've seen Elijah Moore mock to the Titans at 22. I don't think he's really a fit there. Personally, I don't think he's a first rounder. I think he's an early day two pick. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a guy who I think the Ravens will love. He's a physical player. He gives everything. He blocks hard. He's a big inside presence again for Jackson and is reasonably good off script as well. He's not got the enormous ceiling of some of the others, but he's a pro already playing against college players. So I like Amon-Ra, and I think the Ravens would be a good fit, but again, not for fantasy.
I think Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be in the running for one of these wide receivers, especially now that we're talking somewhere in the back end of the first, the beginning of round two. I think they need to start pairing up some weapons for their boy Trevor Lawrence. Just a quick hot second. Let's talk about some teams that are actually in the running for wide receivers. So, I mean, of course, now I'm looking at the draft board here just to make it easy on myself. We got Jacksonville Jaguars. I'd say yes. Jets, yes. The Niners, it's not a need for them, but I definitely do expect them to take some wide receivers in this draft. Falcons, you could argue that. I know you guys say the Bengals could use them. I don't think they can. I don't think they need to. Dolphins, I'm also going to be on that train. I don't think they need a wide receiver. Detroit Lions, I think they do. Panthers, I don't think they do. Broncos, I'm going to say no, they don't. Cowboys, no. Giants, they spend a lot of cap on wide receivers. I'm going to go no. Eagles, yes. Chargers, they definitely could use a wide receiver. Vikings.
They need someone to complement Allen. They had Jalen Guyton out there. I think he ran more deep routes than anyone in the league last year. So that's clearly something that Herbert can do. He's got the big arm. I think someone like Elijah Moore would be a good option there. He's an electric playmaker. It's not a pressing need. I don't think they're going to address it early, but in these mid rounds, there are some good talented players, and maybe they go for someone like a Tamarion Terry, who is a bigger deep threat and a bit more one-dimensional, but should suit the quarterback.
Yeah, I definitely think a lot of these teams are going to be touching on these needs, definitely in near the mid to late parts of these drafts. I think there's going to be a lot of dropping that we're not expecting. I mean, the Patriots, it doesn't matter if they need a wide receiver because he's still going to be a bust regardless. And they spend a lot of cap on some wide receivers. I highly doubt they're going to spend too much time in the wide receiver position. Cardinals, I mean, while they have weapons, they're still going to take one. Raiders, if they're fast, he's going for it. Dolphins, Dolphins, repeat them. I don't think they necessarily need one. Washington football team, I think a lot of people are forgetting about them. I think they need at least one to two more receivers. I think they go for two this draft.
For a playoff team, they've got a lot of needs. They need a quarterback. They need someone to pair with Terry McLaurin. They probably need a couple more pieces in their running game. Ron Rivera and Scott Turner did a great job with what they have, but they're a team with a lot of needs. Personally, I would trade. If you can't come up and get a quarterback you believe in, I'd be trading back if someone wanted to come up and try and get more picks, throw some stuff at the board and see what happens.
They weren't a playoff team because they were good. They were a playoff team because their division was absolutely dog water. I mean, the Chicago Bears, they could use another receiver. Colts, I'm going to go no. They don't need a receiver. They spent a lot of draft capital on receivers over the past few years. They need to make sure those develop before they keep throwing the dart at the wide receiver position. The Titans, no, they don't need a wide receiver. No, I like exactly who they have there. And then, of course, the Steelers, they definitely don't need receivers. Browns, nope. Ravens, yes, they could. The Saints, I would like them to go for a receiver. Packers, they definitely need one, but I like it. I like how they don't go for receivers. I think that's funny that way. It's like a meme at this point where, of course, they're not. It's like, you know, dog coin at this point. Like, you know, you don't expect it to go up, but for some reason, it just keeps on moving up at this point. It's more of a fun thing for me. The Buffalo Bills, they don't really need one. The Chiefs, of course, and Buccaneers, they don't need one, but I actually expect them to go grab one. That's one of those things. It's like a drug addiction. They just keep going at it.
There's a team that we've not mentioned because you're reading through the draft board, and I don't think you've got a first-round pick for a couple of years.
The Texans,
Cooks is another one of our old guys who aren't sneaky, who aren't actually old list, but they need a proper outside receiver. They're a team that if they had an earlier second-round pick, I could see going for Terrace Marshall. They're going to need to get someone, and they might be in the frame for one of these big, slow guys that I can't stand, like Seth Williams or Sage Surratt or someone, and they're just going to bloody blow it, but they need someone because you can't be reeling out Randall Cobb and David Johnson. Like, it's not 2014.
Randall Cobb is 30 years old. Brandon Cooks is 27. For fun, Robert Woods is 29. Will Fuller is actually 27. So Will Fuller is the same age as Brandon Cooks. I think it's crazy how the mind plays with you like that, because Brandon Cooks has moved from team to team every single year. We assume he's just this old guy who's on the back end of his career. He's in the middle of it when you really think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it does certainly feels like it. And I tell you what, I don't think he has long, he's still got his speed, he's still an excellent receiver, but he feels like a candidate for early retirement. If he's stuck on an ordinary team, he's had some pretty severe knocks to the head. You don't want to see anyone go out early, but he would be someone who might be on the radar there. But that said, not old guy discount. Scoop him up in Dynasty.
I really like the sound of that. Now, let's move on to the tight end position real fast. And then, of course, I will send you guys on your way. Kyle Pitts, of course, tight end one, supposedly bust proof. My opinion, he's the next Vernon Davis, a little bit better. Tell me what you think.
I think he's an elite talent. I think there's no chance he falls outside the first 10 picks. And I think you'll likely see somebody either trade up to get him or someone take him just because he's there. They don't necessarily need him, but he's the kind of tight end that can play anywhere. He can be a traditional tight end. He can be a dominant wide receiver as well. A team that might have him on the radar is the Falcons if they're unable to trade out of that spot, because I don't think they really want to be there, seeming as the quarterback demand is all the rave right there. I think another team that you could watch for is also the Panthers. If they can't trade out as well, I think they might have him on their radar. Someone to pair, an elite talent to pair with their newly acquired Sam Darnold. And that wouldn't be a bad spot either. I think for a fantasy perspective, I think that'd be one of the better landing spots for him.
I would like to see him kind of, for fun, I would like to see him go to the Cowboys. I think having all those weapons for Dak Prescott would be one of the most little fun sights to see. Like, how would he succeed when every one of your receivers and tight ends are probably one of the best in their respective division?
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think he's going to get out too far. Probably pick 8 is the latest. If he slips to there, the Panthers will scoop him up. I will answer a question that wasn't really a question with a question of my own. Are there any teams that you see maybe moving up to get him? We've got the Chargers without a tight end, the Vikings who feel like they're in a window potentially. Anyone else like that that might come up and get Pitts, overpay to get? Only one of 9 players that Next Gen Stats has had a 98 or greater rating on for both athleticism and production.
Okay, so this is for fun, and I think this is completely realistic. I think the Miami Dolphins trade up, not from their 6th overall pick, but with their 18th. I think they used their 18th pick and their second round pick that they got from the Texans, and maybe even more, to try to move up and grab Kyle Pitts.
Could they, in this world of chaos of Miami trading, they trade back from 6? Let's say, I don't know, I wasn't thinking this through. Let's say the Patriots come up.
Okay.
From 6, and Miami are now at 15 and 18. Do they give up 15 and 18 to then go up to 7 to get Kyle Pitts?
I mean, they would come up on that trade, because you would imagine they have a couple of extra picks in the 3rd round or 2nd round in order to do that. Ooh, yeah. The Dolphins have been playing 3D chess as of late, especially with draft pick trading. So I would not be surprised if they were to do something like that.
Yeah, they remind you of the guy in every fantasy league who just loves trading and just wants to keep trading, and you're never sure if he wins or loses because he just keeps trading all the piece around. And people are like, yeah, well, nothing else. He certainly made some trades.
Hey, scared money doesn't make money, and the Dolphins, they're definitely not playing scared. Kyle Pitts, out of the way. He's a little bit too straightforward. I don't like that. There's no room for debate on him other than will he be the best tight end in the league in like 3 years, but that's probably enough. Anyway, so Brevin Jordan, Sheehan, where does he go?
He's going to be a late day tour, I think. Bit of a shallow tight end class. We've got Pitts at the top, and then Jordan Freiermuth are good. Tommy Tremble has upside. He's only 20. I realize I brought him up twice tonight, but I was just reading about him, so he's on the mind. I would say maybe you're looking at the football team at 51. The Vikings, if they have a second round pick, I can't be bothered looking through the list, but they're a team who needs a tight end there. I know they're a team who might be looking for him. And of course, the Ravens, they like having every tight end in the league. So somewhere in that mix in the round 2 and 3, he's not as good as Pitts. He's a fine tight end.
Okay, before we quickly get past Kyle Pitts here, now, just out of the complete realm of possibilities.
I like this. I like it.
What about New England trading up and running the first ever triple tight end set and just dominating the league with it?
Okay. I think this is Belichick's ultimate goal, to bring back like the wing tee or the wishbone or like the Navy offense or something like that. And just like, we'll have Newton as a blocker and Pitts will be the quarterback. It's all sorts of weird.
Just a disaster.
Do they give up Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith to move up to draft Pitts?
Maybe that's the, you know, the 5-head strategy.
if Kyle Pitts is basically considered a wide receiver, does that mean he's guaranteed to be a bust if Belichick drafts him?
For sure.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go. Absolutely. She ends a little sad. I said well, that, so, but there you go.
If only he was a second round cornerback, then we'd definitely draft him.
Ooh, okay. All right. So
the Brevin Jordan thing, I think a good landing spot for him is number 77 to the Chargers. I think that'd be an interesting spot. The Chargers are likely not, unless they trade up, they could be a team that trades up to get Kyle Pitts. I don't think that they necessarily need to or want to. I think maybe taking him, Brevin Jordan, later on in the draft is an option, or Freiermuth if they're feeling spicy in the second round. I think Brevin Jordan might be on their radar.
Yeah, I think we could probably talk about both of these guys, Freiermuth and Jordan, as I agree with you. I think the Chargers at 77, the Titans in that third round as well, or even the New York Football Giants if they're not convinced with Engram. And also, I've been doing this for, what, 5 episodes, and I've just been wanting to say the New York Football Giants. So there we are.
That was amazing. I don't know. Trading up for a tight end is very unsexy. It's kind of like your third grade English teacher. You don't want to do that.
Shout out to Miss Kennedy if you're listening.
There you go. Pat Freiermuth nailed it on the head. I see this guy being late. He's drop. In my opinion, he drops. I see him in the 4th, 5th round, and he's going to be a Niner. They need a tight end. He's going to be there for them. They take him. But Justin, where else does he go?
I'm not so sure about 4th round, but I think he slides probably to the 3rd. Maybe somebody who really likes him takes him in the 2nd. Somebody like the Jags, maybe the Chargers, Colts, Washington, maybe the 49ers as well. You know, they love their tight ends. Baltimore would love to get a trio of tight ends again. I think after Pitts, it's kind of a murky, what fits your team kind of pick rather than, we need to get this guy because he's an elite prospect kind of pick. So sliding is entirely possible. It just depends on when whatever team is on the clock. If they feel they can use him, then they'll take him. If they don't, then they'll take a lineman or something boring like that.
Linemen are never boring. Those are my favorite type of picks. Whenever a team picks a lineman, I get a little happy inside because that means they're down to win. They're not trying to be flashy. They're trying to win. But Sheehan, let's hear it.
On Pat Freiermuth, the final word. Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's going to be either late day 2 or a day 3 pick. There's no teams with a real glaring need at tight end. There's obviously talked about the Chargers. We've talked about the Titans. You know, I feel like they're in a position. Our man, the Ferk, is still in Tennessee. So someone's going to pick him up. I think he's going to be second fiddle, basically, unless he goes to like Carolina. In which case, actually, at pick 151 to Carolina, there or thereabouts, I think that would be a nice value for Pat Freiermuth. He's going to be an upgrade on Ian Thomas, who, speaking of third grade English teachers, sounds like a third grade English teacher. I think Pat Freiermuth is going to be a nice little addition there. But no doubt he's going to end up behind Noah Fant. He's going to end up in New England. He's going to maybe go to our friends, the Texans, and just have no fantasy relevance whatsoever.
It's hard for a tight end to have fantasy relevance, especially his rookie year. So that's going to wrap up all the big names, the important names, the in-the-know names. Of course, in 9 days, this list and everything is going to shake up because if they get drafted in a situation that suits them, we're going to be talking about drafting them in redraft leagues at this point, not necessarily just dynasty big names. But of course, Sheehan, let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can head on over to Twitter and like me, I'm at Sheehan Solo. That's SHEAHANSOLO. And we can come over there and talk about rookies. We can talk about the poor umpiring in the AFL. We can talk about anything you like, really. But that's where I'm at. For anything else about me, I'm the managing editor at Sleeperwire. So we've got some good content coming out in the lead up to the draft. We've got breakdowns on whether your team's going to pick a quarterback, running back, wide receiver. So keep an eye out for those. We've got some prospect profiles. My man Justin's got an article coming out breaking down a pros mock rookie draft. So there's lots of good stuff there. And of course, we're on Patreon, so you can check us out there. Head on over to Draft Night Out and buy tickets to that. I think Huss is paying me by the plug tonight. So anything else, I'll make it up as I go.
All righty. Now, Justin.
Just on Twitter at JustinDoddsFF. Check out my new article coming out pretty soon on the mock draft. We covered it in the last podcast a little bit, but more in depth on in the article for all the picks and all that good stuff.
All right. And of course, I am Natter. You can find me at TopTierTactics_. Usually I'm just kind of trolling people on Twitter. If you want to see a troll and an idiot, you can follow me there. You won't find much insight. That's for Sheehan and Justin. They do that. I'm the entertainment person. All right. And of course, this is another episode of Sleeper Wire.